His grace, His mercy, His peace be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Welcome to God's house this day. It is indeed our prayer that the Holy Spirit speaks to you today. The whole issue of resurrection, and did you notice when the ladies leave the tomb, what they're feeling, what's going on in their heads, what's going on in their hearts? In Mark's gospel, the women leave the tomb afraid. You and I know a little bit about fear. In fact, you and I live in a culture that holds up fear. We hear it over and over again. Be afraid, be very afraid. And if you don't have anything to be afraid of, the world in which you live will supply you plenty. Internationally, we should be afraid, we are told. Russia is in Ukraine. China wants Taiwan. Iran wants Israel. Any one of them at any time could just blow up. We should be afraid. Closer to home, you have this fear that runs through our news media. Vaccines, autism, measles, all of this mixed up. What's the truth? What's not? Are these tariffs going to crash our economy? Worse, bring some kind of depression. And then we hear about all the things that we have been eating all these years and how they are not helping us. I'm scared Mr. Kennedy is going to take away my diet Mountain Dew. But I have a plan. I'm going to drink the sugared stuff instead. But you feel that pulse, don't you? You can't turn on the news. You can't take in any information without someone telling you you have to be afraid about this or that. Because it's all about to come tumbling down. The sky is falling, we are told. And we've come to the place where it's almost as like, just let it fall and we'll see what happens. Because I'm tired of waiting on it. The message is that you should be afraid. Resurrection faces your fear with the truth, faith. Our pastor read us the gospel. If you'd hear parts of it again, the Sabbath came. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, who was also the mother of our Lord Jesus, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? And they looked up, and they saw the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robe, and they were alarmed. They were afraid, and he said to them, do not be afraid. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. They went out and fled from the tomb, trembling. Astonishment seized them. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Each gospel writer comes at the resurrection from a different direction. This is not unlike when you have four different people see an event and everybody has kind of their perspective. Mark has his. And in Mark's gospel, Mark specifically ends his gospel with verse 8. Now, I realize in many of your Bibles, there's more verses there. And if you want to talk about that sometime, I'm happy to do so. But the oldest versions of Mark stop at verse 8. And you go, well, why? Why doesn't Mark tell us more? I mean, there's more to tell, right? But it seems as if Mark wants to connect with you and I on a very core level. Mark is speaking to people who who are afraid. He's speaking to people like us. And while we know that the ladies eventually tell other people, we know eventually they get to John and Peter, we know eventually they tell the rest of the disciples, it happens later in the day. In this moment of time, they are holding two things in their hands. Mentally, emotionally, two ideas. One of those is fear. Pastor Bard, how on earth could they be afraid? Dear ones, remember what they had seen. They had seen Jesus crucified. It's the women, remember, it's the women who stand at the cross and watch the life bleed out of Jesus. They saw him take his very last breath. They're afraid because they had seen where Jesus was buried. They're afraid because they were aware that the Jews had publicly said, anyone who continues to try to follow this Jesus, we are going to hunt you down. And so it should not surprise you and me when we hear Mark say, the women leave the tomb almost running away in fear. But that's not the only thing, the only idea they're holding. They're holding the idea of faith. Jesus' body is not there. They had just spoken to an angel. Remember, of all of these women, Mary, the mother of James, here, also the mother of Jesus, she's the only one who'd ever spoken to an angel before. I just wonder if she coached the ladies up a little bit. Okay, girls, I've talked to an angel before. He told me I was pregnant, was very uncomfortable. Not unlike this time, where he said Jesus is risen from the dead, also strange and uncomfortable. Oh, come on, people, work with me here. Jesus' body is not there. They had just spoken to an angel, and they have a vague recollection in the back of their heads. Didn't Jesus tell us that he was going to rise from the dead? Didn't he say something about that? I kind of remember. He told us this. And so they exit astonished and shocked and excited and afraid. And all of a sudden, you and I find ourselves in that place. This is us. This is you living life. On one hand, being told by 1,000 different places that we should be afraid, and on the other hand, recognizing what is true. Christ is risen! Just checking to see if you're awake or if you have a sugar high going. That's how we go through life, isn't it? On one hand, hearing all of these voices telling us we should be so afraid, and on the other hand, looking at the empty tomb going, he's gone. And it's true. It's true. He rose from the dead. And for you and I, living as Christians in this poison culture, we remember that fear is a lie. Fear says God has left you to your own devices. Fear says God is not with you. Fear says God does not love you. Fear says, too bad for you. Just do the best you can. But all of that is untrue. God does love you. God loves you so much that he proved it on Friday. Having compassion for you, he makes this enormously difficult decision. He sends his son Jesus to the cross instead of sending you. That was your cross. That was your death. But the Father loves you so very much, he trades his perfect son for you. And then when it looks as if all is lost, he raises his son from the dead. And you and I can see this amazing thing that the Father does. On one hand, in sending Jesus to the cross for us, he makes atonement for you. He makes everything right. He pays our debt, if you prefer. A debt that we cannot pay. And that would be enough. Yes? That would be enough to keep you and I out of hell. But then God does this amazing thing. He raises Christ Jesus from the dead. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. Paul says, when you are baptized both into the death and into the resurrection of Jesus. Which means when you were baptized, God connected Jesus' death to you, forgiving you. But when you were baptized, God also connected Jesus' resurrection to you. Which means the truth is, you are not alone. You have a God who loves you so much he sent his son. And he is with you into eternity. For you and I who live in this world, fear is preached to us over and over and over. But for you who confess Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that once this life is over, we will be with Jesus. This is my dad. I love my dad. He died 3.5 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Eden gave him a wonderful send-off into eternity. And let's be honest, this is what's left of him, right? The earthly tent my father lived in is in a $1.99 plastic box. My dad would have appreciated that because my dad loved a bargain. And he was number 1377. I don't really know what that means, but I thought it was cool. And see, here's the reality, right? We all come to this. When the tent is worn out, or in my father's case, when the Alzheimer's just completely took over his mind, he came to his earthly end, just like I will, just like you will. But we have this promise. I have this promise. That because Jesus came out of the tomb, because Christ lives, my dad is with Jesus right now. Not because he was a particularly good man. I could tell you stories. But if he was here in the pulpit with me, he'd say, Randy, I could tell them stories too. So you just better cut it up. He's in heaven with Jesus because God loves broken people like us. This is not all there is. This is the end of this life. But because Jesus came out of the tomb, you and I have the promise of life forever. Life forever with Jesus himself. And that doesn't take away the pain of this box. And I will cry the rest of my life over this. But you and I trust a living Father who has loved us so much that he traded Jesus for us, so that one day I will see my dad again. And if I remember, I'm going to tell him he was 1377. This is not the end. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. His grace, his peace, his mercy be with us who wait for the Father to receive us as well. Dear ones, in Jesus' name, amen.